Thank you, thank you, thank you. Very kind of you. Appreciate you. We love your pastors. Come on, somebody love your pastors. Come on, give them a big hand. We minister a lot of different places and a lot of different churches. We've ministered in a little over 1,200 churches over the years. And so that's a lot of people. That's a lot of churches. And I'll tell you what, we go through some battles. People don't realize it, you know, and as an itinerant, you know, some pastors think it's all just, you know, a bed of roses as a traveling ministry. And you don't see sometimes where we've got to sleep or what we've got to eat or, you know, I mean, here you guys are just wonderful. You know, I mean, we were just, last week, Jesus help me, set me free, hold my lips shut so I don't say something I shouldn't, but, sometimes some of the craziest stuff you can even, you know, imagine. And so, but we just absolutely love, Pastor Rick and Terry. And so it's our honor to be here and minister to you. So we've already ministered, 2 days. And can you believe it? Tonight and tomorrow's it. That's it. It comes, it goes like that, you know? And so, it's going to be good tonight. I'm going to stretch you a little bit, kind of push you a little bit, maybe push your buttons a little bit. And, but it'll be good. There's real growth in that. And, I just pray God really stirs you for that. Guys, I want to show a couple, actually 3 video clips. Forgive me for that, but they're very, very short. The first one is we were just in Minnesota here not that long ago, and someone brought a woman, and, she was, deaf. I think she was 90% deaf in one ear or even more, and she was quite a bit deaf in the other one, about 70-80%. So she had hearing aids in, and she didn't come forward when it was time for prayer. And so she was scared because she was from a particular denomination and stuff. And so they were literally ready to walk out of the church. And so the daughter said, man, we came all this way, you know, at least just have the guy pray for you. And so I heard her say that. And so I said, well, what's wrong? And so the daughter, she said it and signed it to the mother. And, so as she was saying it and signing it to the mother, I overheard the daughter say it. And so I said, oh, what's going on here? What's going on? And she said, well, my mother, and so she starts to tell me. I think her mother had some kind of disease or sickness or something happened to her ears. And I said, oh man, we've seen hundreds of people healed of deafness and partial deafness and all kinds of stuff. So she comes over, she takes her hearing aids out, and Susie caught just the end of it, just grabbed her cell phone and caught it on her cell phone. So this is literally just the last 60 seconds of what happened, and she freaks out because this is the first time she's heard since she was a little girl. So watch this. This will bless you.
Your voice is different too.
Like you had a deaf voice. Turn the music up. Turn it up.
Oh my gosh, it's really coming in.
Yeah, that's great.
I can really hear your voice.
Yeah, you're
good. Oh, fine. I'm just shocked. And I can hear your voice.
Yeah, that's great.
I feel like this warmness coming over to me.
Yeah.
When you were up there, it felt a little burning in this ear.
Yeah.
Because I had a cochlear implant in this ear 8 to 7 years ago. And I've had a hearing aid since I was 3.
Wow.
And so,
is that awesome, you guys? Come on.
Service. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's the first time she's heard. So you have to understand her voice changed more of a deaf person voice. That's why. So she's having to relearn how to talk all over again. So isn't that great? Come on. We have a great God. All right. So the second one, let's do the one, the guy from that's healed of AIDS. This is a guy that they brought in that's dying in our friend's church. I'll be there in a week. They have a whole section just for AIDS, a section about the half the size of this church. Is just for AIDS. That's all AIDS. And, you know, you'll never hear this in the news media because it's not politically correct, but I'll just tell you this is that, you know, in 1994 when Nelson Mandela came into power, some great things happened, some not so great. People don't realize he's a communist, number one. So he's a communist, so you have communism. But number two, beyond communism, they made it illegal for a doctor to say that somebody has AIDS. So it's illegal. A doctor goes to prison if he ever diagnoses someone with the AIDS virus. He can never say it. So that way they can tell the UN, well, since 1994, AIDS has gone down. Well, yeah, they're all dead, of course. I mean, if, you know, and so, you know, all of those that were diagnosed before 1994. You understand what I'm saying? So he did some great things. Thank God for some of the great things. But you have to understand a lot of stuff is twisted. And how many of you know the media doesn't always tell everything? Come on. If you don't know that, okay, we'll pray for you tonight, okay? But so they brought this guy in. They just said, well, he's got tuberculosis. Well, he didn't just have tuberculosis. He had the full-blown AIDS virus. So he was laying there and he had urinated himself. Blood was coming out of everywhere. They had stuff punched up his nose. And this is a grown man. This man's about 6'1" and he weighs about 100 pounds. And so they had to bring him in a wheelchair. And then they just laid him on this cot. And sometimes they die. They've raised about 30 people from the dead over there. So that's kind of a common occurrence too. So, but watch this. This is the first time this guy has walked in almost 3 years. Watch this.
Nicely. Just stand up. Look at me.
Amen. This disease to leave you.
Amen.
Life to come.
Come on.
Strength will come now.
I want you to see what's happening here. Look at this. Can you imagine somebody standing on these legs and tonight the weakness, the sickness, the disease is going to slowly. Come on, let's thank God for miracles.
Miracles. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That guy walked home that night. Come on, somebody. First time in almost 3 years, you know, and dying of AIDS. This last one I wanted to show you is just a clip. I think it just says street healing, right? And so you can just see how us praying for different people on the streets and stuff like that all over the world and people being healed. I'll just give you a great testimony. If you weren't here last night, I prayed for the lady at the front desk last night to be healed. Her name is Chris. Actually, she's on the video there with me of you and I. And so Chris got radically healed last night. She was crying in the foyer and she was just stunned. So I went and I came in from lunch with you, Pastor, and I didn't get a chance to tell him this, but I came in from lunch and I walked by and Chris goes, oh, wait a minute. She goes, wait a minute. And then she starts crying. This just happened this afternoon. She starts crying. She goes, I'm sorry. I'm very emotional. She said, you have to understand. I've been in terrible pain. She said, for years. Come on, somebody. And so she said, tell me about that church, New Life. I'm coming to go to that church. I didn't even say anything. I said nothing. She's like, I got to go there. I got to go to that church and stuff. And so, yeah. So Chris, you're not here tonight, are you? I didn't even ask. So. Okay, so praise God. Well, I think she had to work tonight. That's what it was. So she'll be here tomorrow night, possibly. So praise God. Watch this. This is from all over the world, healing the sick on the streets. This will stir your faith.
There is power, here in this hour. We're all together, waiting here as one. There is power, here in this hour. We're all together, waiting here as one. Oh, 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 hear the sound from heaven. Oh, 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 almighty rushing wind. Oh, oh, oh.
Woo-hoo. Amen. All right. Yeah, I should have said this. I didn't realize it would be so far away, so it'd be difficult for you to see. But the one was us at a flea market getting someone healed. The other was at a Norway. When we were in Norway, we went to a library, and a girl who was an agnostic, she got healed. And so, and the two girls, the first two girls were professional ballerina dancers in England, and they both got healed on the street, and they were both atheists, and they're like, we don't know how you did this. And so they had no explanation at all, and by the end, they both got saved and filled with the Spirit, so. So, look at your neighbor, say, you can do the same thing. Come on, say that. Tell them, say that, all right? Well, let's see. Tonight, I want to read a scripture to you before we do the offering. Look over in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. Deuteronomy 8. Anyone else need a Bible, she's saying? Okay. So Deuteronomy 8 says this, verse 18. Actually, verse 17. Deuteronomy 8:17. God is speaking to natural Israel, and he says, then you shall say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. So God says, be careful. Don't you say that it's the power of your hand that got you your wealth. Verse 18, he says, but you shall remember the Lord your God. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, remember. He said, listen, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that gives you power to get wealth. It's a word, Hebrew word. It's he who gives you power to create wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenants, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Come on, right? So you are to remember. Everyone say that word. Remember. So God says, don't forget. Don't say, I did this by the might of my own hand. God says, don't say that. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, don't say that. Okay, so God cautions Israel. He says, do not say that. Don't say you did it by the might of your own hand. But he says, you're to remember it's God that gives you power to create wealth. Why? That he may establish his covenant in the earth. Come on, right? That you'll establish his covenant in the earth. And so when we have that mindset that as we partner with heaven, we partner with heaven, and God wants to bless his people back. And it begins in a mindset. I may talk about that a little bit tonight. I may talk about healing mindsets. But, you know, we have one of the mindsets that we have to break in the church is a poverty mindset. Look at your neighbor, say, get rid of your poverty mindset. Or your poverty mentality, right? Now, I'm going to say something a little controversial, so give me grace. Okay, I'm not a Mormon, but let me just tell you something. Thirty some years ago, the Mormons realized that they couldn't get done in the world what they wanted done by just offerings. So the Mormon church as a whole made a decision to create wealth to propagate Mormonism. So they formed some corporations and some companies. You may have heard of a couple of them. The one is Marriott Hotel. The other one you may have heard of, it might even be in your wallet right now, the American Express. The American Express card is 100% Mormon owned. You ever been to Taco Bell? Taco Bell is Mormon owned. You ever been to Kentucky Fried Chicken? That's Mormon owned. All of these companies are for one purpose, and the Mormon church doesn't pull any punches. They say the whole purpose is to propagate Mormonism. So in February, when the Super Bowl was played, one Super Bowl ad cost, for 30 seconds, $3.5 million. One Super Bowl ad. The Mormon church came and paid cash for 12 Super Bowl ads, cash up front. Where'd they get that money? Did they raise up the funds? Did they have a chicken dinner? Did they have a spaghetti dinner? Did Did they have a youth car wash? No, you know how they did it? Was they took this scripture and they said, we have got to have a mindset that God gives us power to create wealth. Come on, somebody. This is a fact. This is not up for debate. This is an absolute fact. So you know what? God began to deal with me some years ago about it. We have to change the way we think. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, have a prosperity mindset. That we have to have a mindset of blessing. That's why the book of Proverbs says this. Now watch this. The book of Proverbs says, don't curse a rich man even in your bedroom. Or maybe a bird may carry your words and it comes back to you as poverty. You read it. It's there in the book of Proverbs. God says, don't even speak and utter a word of negativism about a rich man. Because perhaps a bird of the air may take your words and carry it away and it'll come back to you again. Come on, somebody. So we have to have a different mindset. I hope I didn't tell this story here already. I think I shared this when I was in Miami. I went in about 1999, 2000, I bought some of my first things I ever bought off of eBay. Anyone ever bought off of eBay? Okay. So I bought something off of eBay. I was kind of concerned. That was the first time I ever put my credit card online. How many of you are real nervous about that, right? I was really nervous. I'm like, oh God, I don't know. And so I call this guy that I was buying something from and I call him up and I said, listen, I'm really concerned about this. And he said, oh, Tom, don't worry about it. There's no problems here. He said, you know, we're a company. And so I start to witness to this guy on the telephone from Los Angeles. So as I'm witnessing to this guy, I'm witnessing to him for about 10 minutes. And he says, I'm Jewish. I said, great. The gospel's first to the Jew. And so I started to share Christ with him, and he said, can I share something with you and you don't be offended? I said, go for it. He said, I'm offended with the Church of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not offended with Jesus. He doesn't offend me. He said, let me tell you something, Tom. I was born in a Jewish house. He said, Jesus Christ was born in a Jewish house. He said, he was born in Israel. He went to Jewish temple. He was trained by Jewish teachers. He was in a Jewish culture. Come on, somebody. And he said, not one Jew you'll ever meet in your life ever preaches poverty. They all preach Deuteronomy 8:18. And he quoted the scripture to me. I said, I know right where that is. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. He said, yes, it is. And he said, every Jew believes that no matter where you drop us in the world, we'll become wealthy. And so I said, so why are you offended with the church? He said, I'm offended with the Church of Jesus Christ because you 1,000 years ago allowed Eastern religion to come into the church and you think poverty is holy. It's a wicked, ungodly thing. He said, do you believe in heaven? I said, I do. He said, how come there's none of it there if it's so holy? Come on. Right? If poverty is so holy, how come there's no poverty in heaven? There isn't any. No. It's a place of abundance. Come on, somebody. Amen. And here I started off witnessing to him. Now he's witnessing to me. This dude is witnessing to me. I'm like, when did this thing turn around? I don't know how this happened here. But I'll tell you what, that we have to have a different mindset in the church. We have to have a different mindset that God wants to prosper and bless the Church of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I'll tell you, as soon as you change the way you think, it's like you open up heaven. Let me just share one last testimony and then we'll shift gears. Okay. Is this okay for anyone? Is this all right? Okay, for the two of you who raised your hands, I'll preach to you. We were ministering years ago in Mankato, Minnesota, and I shared along this lines. And the guy there was a guy there that was a board member, and he got really ticked off at me when I started talking like this. He got real upset. And as I talked like this, he got really offended. And as I was sharing, the more I shared, the more offended he got. I mean, you could see the veins popping out. It looked like Lucifer was trying to come out of him. I mean, I thought he was going to swallow the guy's toupee in front of him or something. I mean, wow, you know. And he was getting more and more mad and wish I would just shut up and get on to the main message. And the Holy Spirit said to him, I want you to listen to this man. And the Lord said to him, I want you to change the way you think. And he owned his own hardware store. And he said, Tom, God spoke to me in that service. I'll never forget it. God said, I want you to buy another hardware store. He said, God, I'm not doing it. We're going to retire early. We're going to sail around the world. I'm going to enjoy my retirement early. I'm going to retire before I'm 60 years old. I'm debt free. I'm not doing it. All the service. God says, I want you to buy another hardware store. I want you to buy another hardware store. And then this crazy preacher gets up and says this. I said this. I said, if you don't want God to bless you, that's fine. But let him bless you so that you can give it to the kingdom then. And then God said, that's why I want you to buy another hardware store. So he says, all right, Lord, I'll do it. And but he says, I'll only do it. And he made these certain conditions real hard for God, you know. And like 2 months later, he said, Tom, I'm driving through another town. And there was a hardware store that had the sign on it, bankruptcy sale. So he went and he bought this hardware store that was going into bankruptcy for literally pennies on the dollar. So he bought the thing. He said, Tom, we laid hands on it. We prayed. And after we prayed, God breathed on the thing and just blessed it so much. He said, he said, 4 months after your meeting, he said, I was making 400% more money than I'd ever made in my entire life. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. So about another 6 months later, God speaks to him in worship. I was gone. And so he said, I'm worshiping the Lord. He said, I prayed one of those stupid prayers, you know, those stupid ones when you say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. Go anywhere you want me to go. He said, I didn't know God would take me serious. And he said, in the middle of worship, God said, I want you to buy another hardware store. Come again, Lord. We already did that. We're batting 1,000. Let's just leave it there. Let's walk away from this, you know. So 3 times the voice of the Lord comes and says, I want you to buy another hardware store. So he goes and does it and obeys the Lord. And we saw him 1 year later after those meetings. And he said, Tom, my tithe check every week is more than I used to make in a salary for 3 months. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a big hand. Amen. So that's my tithe check. So what if God started to bless you like that? Come on. How many of you would like God to bless you like that? Where you can pay for someone else's mortgage, buy someone else a car. Come on, somebody. Pay for whatever God wants to do here at the church. Come on, somebody. Hey, would that be awesome? Or in your church, whatever church you're a part of. Come on, somebody. So look at your neighbor, tickle them a little bit in their ribs. Come on, say to them, say, come on, get rid of your poverty mentality. And let God bless you, all right? Amen. So, okay, ushers, if you guys are ready, we'll go ahead and we'll receive an offering here tonight. If you need an offering envelope for your giving, just raise your hand. If you want to give with cash, you can do that. Usher, if you could get the offering envelopes, ushers, that would be great. People are looking for offering envelopes. If you make out a check, just make it to TSM. TSM, excuse me, New Life, just habit, sorry. New Life Church, sorry, just a habit of mine, sorry. Sorry, New Life Church, if you make out a check, just make it to New Life Church, my bad. If you want to, you could use cash. You can't give your firstborn child, though, sorry. We won't receive them. We'll just give you a second to fill that out and then let our brother lead us in a song. All right. Lord, we ask your blessing on the gift and the giver. Multiply it back to people again in Jesus' name. Amen. Go for it, brother. Awesome Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, if you got your Bibles here tonight, I got about five things going through my heart. So let's do this. Let's go over to the book of Romans. So I'm going to try to marry about five different thoughts together. Let's see how God does this, so thank you guys. All right, so Romans, let's see, where do we want to go? Let's go to Romans 12. Y'all okay tonight? Everyone okay tonight? All right, well, Romans 12 says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you'd present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, stop right there. The word transformed is actually the Greek word metamorphosis. How many of you know what metamorphosis is, right? It's when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. So God says, listen, don't be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosized, in other words, into what? The renewing of your mind. Now the word, those of you my age or older, you'll like this. The word in Greek, renewing your mind, it actually means think young. So God says, listen, don't be conformed to this world, but be metamorphosized to think young. Or the renewing of your mind, right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, so God begins to share several things with us. Thank you guys for doing that. So one of the things, we've been talking about divine healing all week, okay? In fact, let me just review something from last night. Just somebody that was here last night that made good notes. Did anyone make any good notes from last night? Okay. So we talked about several things that you need to know regarding healing. I said number one is that you have to be totally convinced that God wants to heal everybody. Right? Everybody 100% of the time. There's nobody without exception. So we have to be, number one, totally convinced. Now, I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll just hit a few of them. I said, another thing I said is you don't need the gift of healing to heal the sick. Remember when I said that? You don't need the gift of healing to heal the sick. Any believer can heal the sick, right? And so your wife prayed for you last night, brother, didn't she? In the foyer of the church, right? Yeah, right? God healed him. God touched him in the foyer of the church. I didn't pray for him. She did it. Come on, amen? So I like to show people that you can do it. Anybody can do it. I mean, this may mess with you in your theology a little bit, but we were in California ministering, and I ministered healing to this young lady. And this young woman, she was radically healed. I mean, she was a blubbering mess. And she hadn't been saved for 2 months. She was living in a lesbian relationship. She had been just free of drugs for 2 months, but she was still living in this lesbian relationship. But God was touching her. God was changing things in her thoughts and everything else. And so she went and she came, and here she got healed. And so she's just makeup running. I mean, she just makeup literally from, I mean, she looked like she was in a football game. Just like, you know, just the blue, you know, the black stuff just everywhere. Yeah. And she looked like she had been in a war, you know, and just mascara everywhere. And so I said to her, I said, you ever seen anything like this? She said, never. I said, have you ever prayed for someone and seen them healed? She says, no. So I said, watch this. So this guy comes up, this guy, we're waiting for this guy to come to the front. Now she's standing there, she just got healed. This dude walks up to the front. Takes him forever to get up there because he's in so much pain. So he comes down to the front, and so I said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to come over here. I said, you're going to heal the sick right now. And so she went and she puts her hands on this guy. I said, do this. I said, keep your eyes open, 5-second prayer. Okay? You're not going to talk to God about the sickness. God already knows about the sickness. Now you're going to talk to the sickness about God. I'll say that again. You're not going to talk to God about the sickness. Oh, Lord, I know you don't know about his high blood pressure and stuff, but let me just inform you about it. No, God already knows about it. Come on. I said, you're going to speak to that, whatever it was that was wrong with his hips and his back. And instantaneously, this dude gets radically healed. I mean, he's jumping up and down. She's more shocked than he is. She said, no. He goes, yes. She said, no. He said, yes. They argued back and forth like this in the altar. I'm like, shh, I'm trying to quiet them down up here. Come on, right? Amen. So I said, so in other words, you don't need the gift of healing to heal the sick. Any believer can heal the sick. Come on, right? What was another one? Someone say another one. What was another thing? All the promises of God are yes and amen, right? All God's promises are yes, and not some of them are yes and amen. They're not, you know, to you yes, to another no, to another wait a while. None of that stuff. The sovereignty of God, I said, is nowhere preached in the New Testament. That whole sovereignty of God teaching it's all Calvinism. If you just not to bore you with theology, but a man by the name of John Calvin, guy must have been full of the devil when he invented that whole damnable doctrine is what it is. It's a damnable doctrine. I hate that thing because it paralyzes people. It paralyzes the church, doesn't it? I mean, it's a paralyzing thing. It just says, well, we don't know God's will. Well, if you don't know God's will, you know, if you come up to me and you say, Tom, listen, I'm going to pay your mortgage for the next 3 months. I'll say, thank you very much. I take you at your word. And if you have integrity, then you'll follow through with it. True? Right? Well, guess what? It's the same thing as with God. If God said he would and he doesn't, we don't change it with God. Come on, somebody. Either he's got integrity or he doesn't. Amen. Okay. So, but moving right along. So many people struggle in the area of divine healing. And so, but we have to cover this first. So that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Right? Terrible drawing. But they're all three interlinked. Sorry, they should all be connected. Spirit, you are a spirit. You don't have a spirit, you are a spirit. You know, I don't say, brother, you have a male. He says, no, I am a male. You know what I mean? I don't say to your wife, you have a woman. She said, no, I am a woman. Come on. That's what she is. So this is who you are. You are a spirit. Everyone say, I am a spirit. So, okay. So you are a spirit. You have a soul, which composes of your mind, will, and emotions. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions are your soul. That's a soulish part of you. That's what gets offended when somebody cuts you off and they're driving down Highway 31 and they give you that special finger. Probably nobody in Indiana does that, so, all right? Okay, so it's your soul that gets offended. It's your mind, your will, or your emotions, right? And your body, this is what's got to take a pee break every 5 minutes when you come to church on Sunday. Did he say pee in church? Yes, I did. All right. So everyone's got to do it. All right. So, all right. So your body, I mean, you know, your body is never happy. You ever notice that? Your body never wants to do spiritual things. Hello. Your body doesn't say, man, let's pray a lot today. No, your body says, I could go for another cheesecake. Your body says, I need another 20 minutes of sleep here this morning. If you let me sleep 20 more minutes, you know, you go and you hear that alarm go off and all of a sudden your whole, you know, your body says, oh, give me 20 more minutes. I'll be your best friend. Just be 20 more minutes, just 20 more minutes. And then you give it 20 minutes and then what does it say? Give me 20 more minutes. Come on, talk to me, all you holy people, right? So your body never has enough, right? I mean, it never is fulfilled. It always wants more, 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 more. And that's the fleshly part, right? And this, now your soul is your mind, will, and your intellect. So, you begin to, draw from that, in the area of your intellect gets stimulated. But your spirit man, Smith Wigglesworth said, most believers feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and their spirit 1 cold snack a week. He used to say they feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day, but their spirit 1 cold snack a week, you know. And so and with looking at these 3 things, they're all interconnected. See, so your spirit is hungry. Your spirit is wanting to do more of the things of the spirit. But if you constantly feed the body, this is what used to bug me in youth ministry, is that for 12 years, people would, you know, they give their kids constant entertainment. It's worse than a drug addict. Entertainment. All right, Johnny, sit in front of the television. All right, here's a little, you know, Game Boy. Play this. You know, here's some coloring books. Go ahead and color. Entertainment. Now give me a snack. Give me 2 snacks. Give me 5 snacks. Give me 11 snacks. I'm shoving food down, drinking juice down as much as I can. And now they come to youth group and the parents say, I can't fix them. Fix them. Well, you screwed them up for 13 years and you want me to fix them in 1 hour a week? You've been feeding for 13 years the body constantly. Come on, somebody. And nothing in the spirit. And now you want me to fix it in 60 minutes. Come on, somebody. Amen. So there has to be something that addresses these different areas. In fact, let me just explain it to you like this. Okay. So your spirit, soul, and body, as you function in your day, your spirit is in contact with God. Your spirit is trying to communicate with God. Messages are going back and forth, but it doesn't get to the soulish part of you because you're busy through the day. I got to take the kids here. I got to pick up that. I got to put that away. I got to make sure Johnny put this away. I got to make sure my husband's got lunch for tomorrow. And now your body says, now I'm hungry. Now I got to go potty. Now I got to eat again. Now I'm hungry again. Now I'm tired. Now I want to go lay down. Now I just want to relax. And your spirit is saying, hey, you. I'm hungry. So finally you go to bed. You're sleeping. Zzz, zzz. And you go to sleep. Your soul is quiet. Your body is quiet. And your spirit is still awake. It's talking to God. It's like a submarine, right? It's got that little periscope. So 2, 3, 4 hours after you're asleep, your spirit man is, God's talking. Here comes a message. And the message is coming not to your soul, not to your physical body, but to your spirit man. But God says, Job 33 says it like this. Look in Job 33. Oh, this is not in my message. Is this okay? Okay, so your spirit in Job 33 says this. Some people are afraid to read the book of Job because they thought it was Job. Just kidding. Okay. You laugh. I've had some people come in the prayer line and they say, oh, don't pray for me. I'm on disability. I'll lose my check every month if God heals me. Oh, hundreds of times. Hundreds of people. I've had them run out the church. Just literally run out as fast as they can. Yeah, I'm serious. Okay, Job 33 says this, verse 14. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Are you ready? In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on bed while slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions. Can I get a envelope? Is there an envelope up? Okay, this will work. So look up here. So God's trying to talk to you all day long, all day long, all day long. God's trying to communicate messages. You're not getting it. The soul is too loud. It's screaming emotion. I'm upset. Now I'm happy. Now I'm mad. Now I'm upset again. Now I'm happy again. Up and down and up and down and up and down all day long, right? And your body's like, man, I gotta go to the toilet. Man, I'm really hungry. I want a big cheeseburger. Man, I'm really gotta go to the bathroom again. Now I'm really getting tired. And it's talking. All of this talking going on. But your spirit's wanting to communicate to God. So God says, man, I wish he'd shut up. So he puts a message in his or her heart. And he puts this message in here. And Job 33 says he seals it. He licks it shut. And it's a prophetic parable. It's a message. Those of you my age or older, how many of you remember the old Mission Impossible? Remember that? Peter Graves and stuff. Right? Okay. Remember? Dun, dun, dun. Jim, should you decide to take this? Come on, right? Remember that? Yeah. Should you decide to take this mission? You know, this message will self-destruct in 15 seconds. Is that true? Right? Well, that's a dream. So God takes his dream, puts it in his head. Leaves it. And he wakes up at 3:45 and goes, whoa, I had the craziest dream last night. And it's so real, he felt like he was there. Come on, somebody. And God was communicating. So when he woke up, what happened is the periscope of his spirit was still in contact with God. And so it's relaying the messages to the soul. Soul, finally, shut up. Listen to me now. And now I'm going to talk to you, soul. Soul says, be quiet. Let's go back to bed. Body's tired and so am I. And for every 5 minutes you wait, you lose the message the spirit was giving you in your sleep. And so God gives you repeating dreams. How many of you ever had a dream that you repeated the same dream? It's a rebuking dream. It means prophetically you are not listening. God is rebuking you. If you have a repeating dream, God is rebuking you. He's saying, you're not listening to me, so I'll keep telling you this till you finally listen. Hello. But it's a prophetic parable. So everything in the dream means something. Come on, somebody. So you have to interpret it with the Bible. You don't interpret it with, you know, Sylvia Brown or one of these people. Come on, somebody. Or Oprah Winfrey. Because they'll twist it and it'll be perverted and it will say something totally different. But if you go to the book, come on somebody, this is God's thoughts, that's where you're going to find out God's message. Come on, amen? God is communicating with you in this dream. And I mean, I could tell you of hundreds of dreams. I can tell you of dreams that we've been given, that God warned us of things, that God promised us things that we've, not to freak you out or be too mystical, but the first time I ministered in England, I went and I went and I ministered in this church, and this guy came up to me and he said, hey, here I am, Tom. What happened to you? And I said, what are you talking about? This is in Ashington, England. Never been there in my whole life. He says, it's me. It's me. I said, hi, my name is Tom Scarella. What's your name? He said, you don't remember me? He said, you don't remember a year ago, almost 18 months ago, you were in my mother's hospital room praying for my mother to be healed. You were laying hands on her, and I came in the room and you and I talked for 20 minutes. You told me about the Lord and what God's doing. And he said, I stepped out to get you a Coke and I came back and you were gone. 18 months before, I had a dream that I was in England and I was ministering. I was transported there in my dream, and he saw me as you're looking at me right now. This has not happened once or twice. This has happened to me about a dozen times in my life. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, I've had people come and say, you came and you ministered to people. I saw you praying for people in the back of the church. I turned around and you were gone. And I remember certain things like that. So I'm not trying to scare you or be weird and mystical, but I'm just trying to say that, listen, God is communicating to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Hello. Amen. Okay, so I don't know who this is all for, but this is for somebody. So the reason I want to bring this up is this, is because your thoughts are really connected to your spirit. Now, My stepdad is a gunsmith. He makes guns for a living. He's done so for 40 years. And in fact, George Bush Sr. called him about making him a gun about 20 years ago. I don't think it ever happened, but so he's well known for being a gunsmith. They live in Montana. And when I was a little boy and my stepdad and my mom married was when I was 9 years old. And he said to me when I was 9 years old, he was explaining a gun to me because I had never been around guns in my life. And he said, a gun has got several components. And he said, Tom, one of the components of the gun is the sight on the end. Its only purpose is to point where the bullet should go. Are you with me? The only purpose for your soul is to point where the spirit should go. When I was in high school, I was in wrestling. I was too small to play basketball and football. I was much shorter than I am now. And so I was very, very small. And so I used to be in wrestling, high school wrestling. So one of my high school wrestling teachers used to teach this. He used to say, if you want to win a wrestling match, you have to push the guy's head down. Because he said this, where the head goes, the body will follow. Come on, right? So guess what? That's a spiritual truth. Where the head goes, come on somebody, the body naturally follows. So now go over to Romans chapter 8, and I want to show this to you in the Word of God. Okay? And what this has to do regarding divine healing. Is this okay or am I going too fast? Okay, cool. So Romans 8 says this. Now watch this. Now you have to remember, I started off ministry working with drug addicts and alcoholics. And I used to work at a place like a Teen Challenge. I used to work for Jim Baker at PTL. And so I used to work there for Jim back in 1986. And so that's where I started teaching and preaching 3 to 4 hours a day as a 19-year-old kid. And so that's how I started. And the Lord gave me this verse almost 30 years ago. And this is the verse. Look in Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh. Okay, now look at Romans 8, 5. I want you to see this. For those who live according to the flesh, the devil made them do it. Sorry, I must have misread that there. I guess. Flip Wilson doctrine there, right? I mean, okay. Those who live according to the flesh, what does your Bible say? Come on, say it out loud, those three words. Set their minds on the things of the flesh. It's not the devil made them do it. Oh, pastor, pray for me. The devil's been after me all week. No, it's not the devil. It's your thoughts. And your thoughts is where you set your mind. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you'll do the things of the flesh. And those who set their minds on the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is in enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So your thoughts are absolutely imperative. Why? Because your thoughts, watch this, your thoughts, they make you either spiritual, or they make you carnal. Your thoughts, not the devil's thought. Oh, the devil gave me this. No, the devil didn't give you a thought, brother. You set your mind on that thought. See, it gets quiet when you talk like this. We like to blame everything on the devil. It's not my fault. It's not me. No. It's what do you meditate upon? Because this is the same thing as regarding divine healing. That some people, they think all the time, my sickness, my bad back, my paralysis, my arthritis, me, my high blood pressure, it's all mine. I've got it. It's mine. I'll live with it the rest of my life. And they set their mind on it and it cements into their soulish part of their mind and their spirit says, I agree. And any doctor will tell you that the tongue is connected to the center of the brain. And whatever the mouth and the tongue says, the brain believes it. Hello. I'll just shock you even more regarding your words. Because your words are connected to your thoughts. Your words only are what your thoughts are in your head. Look up here. See this bottle of water? Water is the only substance known to mankind in the world. There's no other substance like it in the world. Water is the only substance in the world that changes its molecular structure when a human being speaks to it. You can go right now tonight, you can go to Barnes & Noble, and there was a 17-year study by a Buddhist guy, not a Christian, a Buddhist, and it's called Studies in Water. And this Buddhist guy from the University of Minnesota studied water for 17 years, and when a human being speaks to water, it crystallizes in either ugly, yellow, deformed crystals, if negative words are spoken, or it changes to something of the most beautiful thing you can imagine. You look at it. It's a whole secular study, not Christian at all. You can go right now tonight to Barnes & Noble and you can find it. It's called Studies in Water. And this guy, he did this whole long thing. Hey, guess what? You're 85% water. You are 85% water right now. God, do you think God knew what he was doing? Come on, somebody. Because what your thoughts are will govern what you speak. What you speak. Good or negative. You create with your own words. Come on, somebody. Amen. You create either an environment of sickness or an environment of healing for yourself. Some people say, well, this is that time of year, got to get my flu shot. I know if anyone will get sick, it'll be me. I'll be me and my kids. We'll be the sickest ones. And they're kind of proud they could prophesy it. And they speak it and they speak it and they speak it. I mean, I come from a family of world-class warriors. My family is Olympic medalists in worry. Okay, if you met my family, you would get around them and you'd be like, my Lord, I don't think I feel so good right now either. I mean, I think I'm kind of feeling something coming on me now. I mean, my wife didn't believe me until she met my family, and she couldn't believe it. Why? Because it originates in their thoughts. Come on, somebody, and it travels through their voice. It's either carnal or it's spiritual. Come on, somebody. What you think, the way you think, governs and changes your life. Come on. Why do you think I started off with during the offering about having a different mindset, a poverty mindset? I was just telling my son, I saw a secular study. Did you know this? That there was a secular study done on American lottery winners. American lottery winners. You can go right now on the internet and see this tonight. 90% of them are bankrupt in 5 years. There's a guy who won the biggest lottery in the history of America, $360 million. 5 years later, he was homeless. Homeless, yeah. Yeah, most of these professional ball players are all, you know, broke. I mean, I'm a Minnesota Viking fan. I mean, if you remember Randall Cunningham? He was working on a loading dock after he had made $50 million. Not a penny to show for it. He was working for $7 an hour. Yeah. Come on, somebody. You know what it is? It's a mindset. I said, poverty has nothing to do with money. It has to do with a mindset. That's why you could take communism says, take everything from everybody, except for, of course, the politicians. They get to keep all theirs, but everybody else, it takes from everyone else, and then it re-equal distributes it to everybody else. But in a matter of 5 years, it'll be back in the same hands anyway. Why? Because the Bible says a fool and his money soon part ways. How many of you ever met someone, you could give them $1,000 and in 5 hours, it's gone. Come on, raise your hand. Anyone know someone like that? Of course we do. We all know. We've probably got cousins like I do and relatives, you know? I mean, yeah, I've got relatives and cousins and family members and stuff and, you know, but it's a mindset. Come on, somebody. Guess what? Healing is a mindset too. I said healing is a mindset. That you don't have to get prayed up to go minister to the sick. You already have the same Holy Ghost Jesus had. Yesterday when I prayed for Chris, Sarah in the lobby, I didn't have to say, oh, hold on a minute, Chris. Let me get my emergency tongues out. I have to pray in the spirit and fast for the next 2 minutes before I pray for you. I have to get the gift of praying healing for you. Come on, somebody. I mean, I have to have an angelic visitation and all. No. Come on, somebody. I mean, you could do this at any given time, any given place. So 3 weeks ago, I was in Minnesota. I was ministering up there. And, I better not say, Jesus help me. I felt like I was in a World Wrestling Federation match or something up there in that church. But anyways, God help me. Just move along here. Jesus. But while I was there, I said to the people the one night, I said this. I said, I want 5 of the most on fire people run down here to the front. So all these people ran down. So I said, okay, only 5. So I chased away some of them. And so then I laid hands on them all. All 5 fell out, laughing, screaming, rolling on the floor. And I said to the ushers, all right, pick them up. I said, all right, now look at me. I said, God just spoke to me. You 5 are going to go down the road 1 mile to Target. And you're going to have a divine encounter with 5 sick people and you're going to get them all healed. And they were like, what? No, we just wanted hands laid on us. We don't want to go do anything. We just want hands laid on us. They were like, oh, God, no. Why did I come up here now? They're like trying to unvolunteer from volunteering, you know. And so I said, all right, go on now. Come on. We had to chase them out. Come on, get going. Go get them. You got just a few minutes here. The Lord told me to send you. So they come back 15 minutes later, and they're crying, and they're shouting. And they said, we did exactly what you said. We just stood at the doorway and we waited for everybody that went in with an arm brace, a neck brace, whatever was wrong with them. And we prayed. They said, we actually got 7 people healed and 2 people born again right there. Come on, somebody. In 15 minutes. Come on, somebody. So it wasn't a matter of getting ready. You already are ready. Come on, prophesy to your neighbor. Say, I am ready. Come on, tell 2 people. Say, tell someone else. Say, I am ready right now. Come on, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You have God's thoughts. So go over to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to just shoot a religious cow here. I just want to see some people squirm, huh? Isaiah 55. But if you can help me up there, brother, it's Isaiah 55, and we'll go ahead in verse 8. All right, here it comes. You ready? Because you've heard this in almost every church preached in America. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? All right, look up there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. You keep going. It says, for as high as the heavens are than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, says the Lord. Right? So most people could quote that. The problem is, 7 comes before 8. Does 7 come before 8 in Indiana? The number 7, it doesn't? Number 7 doesn't come first? Oh, okay. So number 7 comes before 8. So now you got to read verse 7 first to see who's he talking to. Verse 7, please. Oh, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man, his thoughts. Come on, somebody. So who's he talking to? The wicked and the unrighteous. He says, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. He's not talking to the church. He's talking to the wicked and the unrighteous. Come on, somebody. If you say he's your heavenly father, guess what? You know his ways. Come on, how many of you know God's ways? Come on, somebody. Amen. How many of you know God's thoughts? If you don't know God's thoughts, you got a whole book of them. You got 66 books of them right here. There's 66 books of God's thoughts and God's ways on every subject of your life. Come on. Amen. God gives it to every single one of us. Now you go over to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians. And let's see what Paul does say about it. Excuse me, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Hallelujah. Y'all still love me? So 1 Corinthians 2 says this, verse 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Oh, wow. So for those heathen who try to say to you, the Bible says don't judge. Oh, no, it does. It says he that's spiritual judges all things. Put that in your religious pipe and smoke it, huh? Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. And who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? Paul answers that question because he's quoting the Old Testament. He says, we have the mind of Christ. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on. Everyone say, I have the mind of Christ. Come on. Amen. Amen. You have the mind of, you know, you have the mind. Not when you get to heaven and you die. No. Right now. Come on, somebody. Amen. You have the mind of Christ. You know God's thoughts. Why? You know God's ways. You know how God thinks. Come on. Right? You already know his thoughts. You already know his ways. You don't have to question it. Now listen to this. Now watch this. So I shared with you on Sunday that when I started the ministry, the first book I ever read was a book on divine healing. Actually, it was the second one. The first one I read was from Charles and Francis Hunter. It was called Angels on Assignment. But then the second one I read was a book from T.L. Osborne called Healing the Sick. So I read T.L. Osborne's book, Healing the Sick. I was just lit ablaze. And I, ever since that day, I've seen healing in my life. I've seen whoever I pray for, people get healed everywhere, anywhere and everywhere. And then I began to realize that this is how God moves. This is how God thinks. This is how God processes things. So in 1999, I started watching that guy I showed in the videos last night. I started watching him on the internet. And as I was watching that guy last night, I went and I remember in 99, I would just start bawling. I just start weeping watching this guy heal the sick. And he wasn't screaming. I always thought you had to raise your voice and scream. And you had to get that evangelist. You had to raise up on your toes a little bit. Why? And you had to get a sweat rag. Otherwise, nobody could be healed without a sweat rag. And I'm like, this dude's like making it so easy. And then I would read the pages of the Gospels, and I'm realizing Jesus isn't sweating and screaming and going, in the name of Jesus. I mean, they don't order a pizza that way. They don't go into, you know, Burger King, or they don't go to, you know, these preachers that do like that, they don't go into, you know, I'll take a cheeseburger and fries and a double Coke to go. Come on, somebody. And a couple of rolls and a couple of shakes. Ah, come on, somebody. They don't do that. I just say, man, they need an enema. That's what they need. They just need an enema. Need to get rid of some waste or something. I don't know what's wrong with them. They're constipated and no one told them it. They just need a spiritual enema, you know? Come on, somebody. And I was so shocked at this guy, how easy he made healing. I was like, that guy just, like, very quietly. And God healed these people of deafness and dumbness and lame. I mean, people dead, raised to life. I'm like, he never even raised his voice. And I said, how could it be that easy? So I went, and in 2006, a friend of ours went there and spoke to him about Susie and I. And so we went there to minister in 06. And he and I became the best of friends, my best friend. And while I was there, we went and we ministered healing together, and I saw people healed. And after every service, we'd just cry, because we would just see everybody in the church would just go and take crutches away. Everybody. I mean, the truck driver, he would go at the end of the service. Everybody's healing. Not just him, not just the prophet, but everybody was doing it. I'm like, everybody in this church is healing the sick. This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. This is the New Testament all over again. Come on, somebody. So I said to this man of God, this prophet, I've only met about 10 real prophets in my life. You know, most of them are non-prophets. So I went and I said to this prophet, I said, Prophet Corbus, I said, I've never seen anything like this. Do I need an impartation? Do I need a special anointing from you? And you know what he said? He laughed. And he said, all you need to do is change the way you think. I said, wait a minute. This is too easy. I said, what? He said, your problem is your thoughts. You're wanting a gift. I'm telling you, all you have to do is say to yourself in your thoughts, I could do this. He said, this is what happened to, he began to tell me about T.L. Osborne. Remember the first book I read on healing? T.L. Osborne. He said, T.L. Osborne, that when William Branham was ministering to the sick in 1947, he saw it and he said, out of my spirit, I yelled, I can do that. He thought, why would I say that? And he said, and he went on from there to even do greater miracles than Branham did, you know? And, but he said, I said it, I can do that. When he said, I saw it, I thought to myself, I could see myself doing the same thing. If he could do it, I could do it. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so just in those simple thoughts, I said, wait a minute. You're not even going to lay hands on me. He goes, no, I don't need to. You already have everything complete in you right now. In your spirit, man, is recreated. You are the new creation, the righteousness of God in Christ. The Holy Ghost lives inside you. You already are set, ready. You can do it. I said, you mean I can just go home and I don't even have to wait for God to speak? He said, no. I said, okay, now wait a second. Now we've seen people healed of back ailments. A lot of people healed of cancer. A lot of people healed of deafness. If you remember when we came to Philly the first time. And, but I said, I rarely see people leave canes, crutches, and wheelchairs. He said, because that's the way you think. So change your thoughts and see what happens. I went home that week. And that first church, we had seven people walk out of walkers, canes, crutches, and wheelchairs. Come on, somebody. And since that day, 700 plus people we've had leave behind canes, crutches, and wheelchairs. And he never laid hands on me at all. I did bring his anointing oil all the way from South Africa, so I'm going to anoint you tonight with his anointing oil, but that's another thing. All right? But I say that for this reason. Once, now you got to get this tonight. If you miss everything else, miss it all. But don't miss this, okay? It's really your thoughts regarding divine healing. Why don't more people evangelize? You know why? Because they can never see themselves through their thoughts evangelize. Not because of an anointing, but because their thoughts are thoughts of this word. And this word is louder than this word in their head. Ooh, I'm good, preaching good. Keep going, brother. I will. Thank you very much. I had to encourage myself. This picture in their mind is louder than this one. And this one. So you have a choice that what you can feed tonight. You have a choice in your mind. What thought are you going to give the most power to in your life? Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's not of I'm going to give you an anointing. I'm not going to give you something you don't have tonight. I'm just going to anoint you to say, you can do it. You know, in the natural, when a ship is built and they go and they christen a ship, there's another word, they call it anoint the ship. They don't mean to anoint it with oil. They take a bottle of champagne and they christen it. Does that mean that it just became a ship? Does that mean it just was able to float? No. It could float before it was christened. It just means we're sending you out. Go for it. Come on. Amen. 1999, I had dinner with Benny Hinn for 3 days. Very nice man. I had dinner with him. We're different. We're very different. I love God's gift on his life and his love for healing the sick. One of the things you never see in a Benny Hinn crusade is all the real difficult, very, very sick people. He has them all behind the scenes and he prays for them all for hours. Every night I had dinner with him. We ate at 2:00 in the morning. because the service would get over at 11 o'clock, 11:30, but he'd spend the next 2.5 hours praying for these dying people in the back. People vomiting, all kinds of different things you can even imagine. And he, in that time, he began to share about being filled with the Spirit. And this is where I'm going to close. He began to talk about being filled with the Spirit. I used to always think of being filled was like a water bottle. Oh, it's down a little bit. Fill her up. Right? He began to say this. He said, don't look at it like that. He said, look at it like the sail of a ship. That when the wind comes and the sail fills up, what happens to the ship, somebody? That's why God wants to refill you with the Spirit. That's why God did what he did on Sunday night. Why were people laying on the floor laughing and crying and weeping all over the church? Why would God do that? You know why? He was filling you. To christen you, to send you out. Come on, somebody. That's why God was doing that. That's the whole purpose of the anointing being poured out. It's not so we can flop on the floor and, you know, oh man, I was wrung out like a rag last night. Oh, that was great. I cackled and laughed all night long and I went and I cried all night long and, oh, I just soaked the altar with tears and then I just went home and just went on about my life. Well, then you missed it. Because the wind comes to fill the sail, to move the ship. And healing is your tool. Come on, hold your hands out right now. Come on, hold your hands out, right? So healing is your tool. It's your number. That's the New Testament track. Do you notice in the New Testament they never used tracks? They didn't have any tracks, did they? It wasn't that they were illiterate. This was their track right here. Come on, just keep your hands out just like that. That song on there, it just says soak in the Spirit right on your desktop. Put that on, will you, just quietly? See, just keep your hands just like that. And so right now, there's already healing in your hands. Let me just say this to you. The greatest miracles of my whole ministry for 29 years, the greatest. And we've raised 2 people from the dead. We've seen over 700 lame people rise and walk. We've seen thousands dying healed. Let me just tell you that. But the greatest, just bring it down about halfway. The greatest miracles of all that I ever saw, now listen, was when I felt nothing. I bet you if Pastor Rick got up and told testimonies of when he went to India and saw the blind see and all that, I guarantee you, probably the greatest ones you saw, you felt nothing. We were in Toronto and I prayed for a woman and steel rods melted out of her back, totally healed. I mean, I could tell you of one after another. I could tell you of women who were barren became pregnant. I could tell you of people who had tumors the size of a softball inside their stomach. And they vomited them out. And tell you of brain tumors and all kinds of things. And I could tell you of, we were in Africa one time and I prayed for a guy who 80% of the skin was eaten off of him. And he came up and I prayed for him. In 48 hours, brand new skin was forming on him. Had all of his color back. Come on, somebody. But guess what? I felt nothing. I didn't feel this surge of power. Nothing. I felt nothing. The majority of the greatest miracles, when I prayed for you last night, I felt nothing. So I think that we're waiting for a feeling and we're missing the Spirit. We're waiting for this feeling of the supernatural, and then we'll do something. God says, no, you do something, and then the supernatural happens. It's what you set your mind on. It's what do you set your thoughts on. That's what makes you spiritual. Come on, somebody. It's not what you do in the church that makes you spiritual. It's not how many years you've been saved that makes you spiritual. It's not what kind of clothing you wear or car you drive. It's not how big your Bible is. That doesn't make you spiritual. What makes you spiritual is your thoughts. One last verse. Will you put one last verse up there? Just let the music play. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3 says it like this. If you then were risen, raised with Christ, seek those things that are, what? Above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Then what does verse 2 say? Ask God to put your mind on it, right? Isn't that what it says? You need to reread it again. Does it say, ask God and He'll put your mind on it? Is that what it says? No, it says, you set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Come on, somebody. So you have to be the one to set your mind. Come on. You set your mind. Your mind points a direction. That's all it does. Because where the head goes, the body will follow. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's not a matter of the devil or demons or evil spirits. And, oh man, Pastor Rick, pray for me. Devil's been after me all week. Bless His holy name. No. You know, some church testimony times sound more like praising the devil than it does praising God. The devil's big, the devil this, the devil went and did that, and the devil and his cousins, and the devil, and then this is the demonic headquarters, and this is satanic. Who cares? Listen, we went to Uganda, and we did a mass crusade. Nobody told me, but a witch came, and she put a curse on the pulpit. And she said, as soon as the white man touches the pulpit, he'll fall dead from America. And that night, God spoke to me and said, I want you to preach for 10 minutes on Jesus as the God of all gods. And you can see me, I'm not a real demonstrative screamer and sweat wiper or anything like that, you know? All right? If you're a sweat wiper, God bless you, all right? And I went, and that night, for 10 minutes, I pounded the pulpit as hard as I could. I actually, at the end of the service, I stood up on top of the pulpit. And the witch stood there and she shook her head. She couldn't believe it. She had been fasting for a month and when she put that curse that I would fall dead. And nothing happened. And afterwards, the pastor came and told me, he said, we didn't want to scare you, but there was chicken blood all over the pulpit. I thought it was just discoloration. I didn't know it was... I'm typical sanguine. I don't pay attention to details, so I just didn't even notice it. But the pastor was shocked that it didn't bother me even after he told me. I said, can't affect me because I don't give any thoughts to it. Because only what you give thoughts to do you give power to. So the devil and witches and warlocks could come, put curses on you and your kids and all everything you have. Do it. Work up your best. But if you in your mind, you don't give any credence to it. You know, I'm half Italian with a last name like Scarella. You can better believe I'm half Italian. I don't look it. I'm Norwegian on the outside, Italian on the inside. Okay? But Pastor Rick came from like, you know, anyway, they were in Philly. I mean, there's more Italians than people there. Okay? Italian people, I know because my relatives are. Oh man, they're very superstitious. Did she give me the evil eye? Oh, I can't come back to church. She gave me the evil eye. If I come back, is that true, Pastor Rick? Is that true? If I come back to church, I'll fall dead with a heart attack. You watch. It'll happen. And very superstitious. I'm telling you, man. Jesus. But it's what do you allow your mind to think on? Some people have a poverty spirit because they think someone's keeping them down. And guess what? They gave power to it by their thoughts. But you have a choice. Some people say, well, I'm sick, and I've got this sickness, and I've always had it, and I always have it because my mama had it, and her mama had it. Who cares? You have new blood now. The blood of Jesus runs through your veins. Everything's going to change. Come on, somebody. Amen? And you just need to say with your mouth. You need to say it. You need to say, the moment He touches me, it'll all go out of me. I won't have this sickness. I won't have this lung problem. I won't have this problem in my whatever. Whatever it is, because I'm not going to give credence to it anymore. So, Father, I pray tonight for people all over this house. Lord, I just pray right now for every single person that's here. Come on, just stretch your hands toward heaven. Father, I pray right now for people. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that I don't even have to pray to cancel the enemy's assignments. They were canceled at the cross. The cross canceled everything that Satan could throw at everybody. And if the cross wasn't powerful enough, then my God, my words and my prayer cannot be. But I look to the cross that cancels everything negative, and all God's blessings come through it to every single person that's here tonight. Lord, I thank you tonight that when we lay hands on people, tumors will dissolve, sicknesses will go, difficulties in people's bodies will instantaneously stop the moment that we touch them in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Don't get in a hurry tonight, because at the end, I'm going to pray for everybody. We want to anoint everybody tonight. But there's some people here, God wants to heal you right now. Now listen, there's someone here, you have like a Crohn's disease. It's like a digestive problem and causes you lots of pain and stuff like that. Who is that tonight? Somebody you have like, I don't know, it's like a Crohn's disease. It's like this digestion problem thing. It hurts at times as well in your stomach from digestion. Who is that tonight? Is that you? Yeah, come if you both will. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, come on up. God, we thank you tonight for touching your people. Lord, we thank you tonight. Now listen, you're in a safe place tonight. But there's some women here that you have a lot of female problems. Something going on in your female organs right now. And you have a lot of problems with it. If that's you, I want you to stand up and come up here right now, quickly. Quickly, there's more than one. There's at least two or three right now. Quickly come. Ladies with female organs, female problems, come right now. Okay, come quickly. Come quickly. God wants to touch you. God wants to heal you. I won't embarrass you, I promise you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, come on up. Is that you? Is that you? Yeah, you got that. Yeah, come on up here. Lord wants to touch you tonight. Someone else tonight. Some other lady. You have that same issue. God wants to touch you tonight and heal you of that thing. Very painful at times. Very painful. You're not up here and your heart's beating real fast. You wish I'd shut up. But you know that I'm talking about you. If that's you, don't wait. Just quickly jump up. Come on up here right now, quickly. Who is that tonight? God wants to heal that thing. Thank you, God. Just God's goodness. Who is that tonight? Thank you, Father, tonight. Blessed be the Lord tonight. Some people here tonight, you have problems with your eyes. It's like you have floaters in your eyes. It's like a blurred vision and blurred spots. God wants to heal you. That's you, come. Is that you, brother? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, come on up here, if you will. Blurred vision. It's like they call them floaters. It's like they move through your eye. God wants to heal you. Come on up here, if you will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for touching people. Someone here, I don't know if it's a bone spur or something like that. Something in the bottom of your foot. Very, very painful at times when you walk on that thing. And you'll hit it just right and it'll just hurt like the dickens. Who is that tonight? And you have like a bone spur? Oh, you have a bone spur in your foot? Anyone else? You're still sitting down. Someone else, you have like a bone spur or something in the bottom of your foot? Like you have this one spot in your foot. You don't know what it is, but man, it just hurts right there. Who is that? Quickly. You're still sitting down. There you are. Yeah, you too. Yeah. Come on up here, my friend. Yeah, I felt like it was a woman. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you put that back on just quietly? Just turn it down just a little bit. Oh, okay. Never mind. Someone else here tonight, you have some kind of a chemical or electrical problem in your brain. Your brain, your physical brain. Okay. Is that you? Yeah. Yeah, what did the doctor say? What is it? Yeah, long time. chemical imbalance. Yeah. Okay. All of you take about 6 steps forward. Come right up to the blue line. All right. I feel like I'm in a basketball game. Come up to the blue line. Okay. You too? You have the same thing? Like a chemical or is it electrical? Chemical thing? Okay. Somebody else? You have an electrical one. It's like an electrical connect. Okay, but somebody else, you're sitting down. You have like this electrical problem in your brain. It causes a lot of issues in your body even as well. But you're sitting down right now. God wants to heal you. If you'll come, the Lord will meet you up here. Quickly come. It's really, what it is it's really an electrical thing. It's like you're not connecting. It's like the lights have got electricity going through it and there's like a short in that part of your brain. God wants to heal that thing. Who is that tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Come on up, brother. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap. Isn't this awesome? Thank you, Lord. Now, are you ready for a shocker? Are you ready for a shocker? I probably shouldn't even tell you. But I'm gonna demystify the gifts of the Spirit. When I came up, I had no word of knowledge, none. Zero. You know when I got it? When I said in my mind, all right, Lord, now speak to me. And then I had a picture. And I saw pictures of all of these different people. Come on, somebody. You know, we make it so mystical and stuff. Instead of making it mystical, God is very practical. And it's as you focus your mind, I just said in my mind, I said, all right, Lord, now speak a word to me. Who do you want to heal first tonight? And say, and that's boom. Then I just saw a picture. I saw women, female problems. I saw people with electrical brain problems and stuff. And then I saw one after another. And so, Lord, I thank you right now over every person that's up here. God, we thank you right now that the moment we touch them tonight, let them be healed by the grace of Almighty God. And Lord, even these that are up here right now, not only will they be healed, but Lord, may they be anointed and sent out to heal from this night in the name of Jesus. Now, congregation, the rest of you, how are we going to do this? Just stand up for right now, okay? And then when I tell you, you come on down the front. We're going to just anoint everybody. We okay for time, Pastor? We all right? Okay. All right. So thank you, Jesus, for healing people tonight. Ushers, if you guys want to help me catch. Thank you, Jesus. We speak healing to that in Jesus' name. Be healed, brother. Right now, in the name of Jesus, be healed right now. Set you free right now. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. All pain will go. We set you free by the grace of God. God has set her free right now in Jesus' name. God says tonight, you know what to do. God says to you tonight, you know. You have my thoughts. And you know what to do. Yet your mouth has said, I don't know what to do. But the Lord says tonight, just follow your thoughts. For I planted them deep in your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just follow your thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Be healed tonight in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be whole. What was wrong? Jesus' name, command everything be healed. I've heard of it. We've had people healed of it. Command the thing be healed in Jesus' name. How about you, brother? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Okay. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we command those eyes be healed. Be healed now in Jesus' name. Just begin to rub your eyes. Rub your eyes. Take your glasses off. Rub your eyes. set you free right now by God's grace. Yep. So tonight in Jesus' name, be healed now. In Jesus' name, open up your eyes. Take your glasses off, rub your eyes. How about you? Be healed now in Jesus' name. Be healed right now. All pain go. Thank you, God. All pain go tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. How about you? Okay. So tonight in Jesus' name, be healed tonight. In the name of Jesus, how about you? What's wrong? Are you? Yeah, take your glasses off. So God, I thank you tonight. We come here to be healed in Jesus' name. Now, let me just say this. The rest of you, congregation, let's make it easy. Let's go to one of the walls. Go to one of the side walls. Those on that side, go to that side. Those on this side, go to this side. Just make one single line, okay? We're going to lay hands on everyone tonight. God's just commissioning you tonight to heal the sick. So just raise your hands. Just raise your hands. Just in expectancy that the Lord's going to touch you tonight. Come on, just all over the house. Just lift your hands. God, I thank you. In Jesus' name, be healed, brother, right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God, for touching him right now by the grace of God. Be healed now. Be healed now. Be healed right now. Set you free. Set you free. Free right now. In Jesus' name, thank you right now. Touch my brother right now by the Ramospota Fumri Bambos Polovoto Kosakala. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, the Lord's already touching you. I speak healing to you now. In Jesus' name, be healed. Be healed right now. 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 Command that those brain cells be healed right now in Jesus' name, brother. Right now, you too. In Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now. I speak healing to you now. In Jesus' name, be healed right now. We speak healing to you now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, right now for a creative miracle. Be healed now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for touching my sister tonight. Bless her tonight. Anoint her afresh. Anoint these people afresh. In the name of Jesus, be anointed afresh. Be anointed afresh. Be anointed afresh. Come on. Come on. Just pray in the Holy Ghost all over the house. Just be anointed afresh, brother. Just be anointed afresh. Be anointed afresh. Be anointed afresh. Be anointed afresh. In the name of Jesus, be anointed afresh. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. What's wrong? Come on, just pray in the name of Jesus. What's wrong? Come on, Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Loco Rabaspiri Abadi, in Jesus' name. Refreshing, 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 Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus, refreshing. I speak refreshing on you now. In Jesus' name, refreshing, 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 refreshing. God, we speak refreshing. We speak infilling. Speak healing to her back and to her legs. In Jesus' name, all the pain go. All the bingo set you free. Thank you, Lord. Touch my sister right now. Touch. Refreshing tonight. Refreshing, brother, right now. Be refreshed in the name of Jesus. Be refreshed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, be refreshed in your thoughts. Be refreshed. Some of you have got destructive thoughts. You've had thoughts of suicide and all kinds of stuff. Tonight, God's changing your thoughts. Come on, just raise your hands right now. God's saying tonight, change those thoughts. Change your thoughts. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, we change our thoughts. We lift our thoughts up higher. We put our thoughts on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. Come on, just raise your hands right now. Just begin to say it in your heart right now. You just make a covenant with the Lord. Just you begin to tell God, God, tonight, I choose right now in the name of Jesus to change the way I think. I'm not going to think those thoughts all the time. I'm not going to think sickness thoughts. I'm not going to think pain thoughts. I'm not going to think thoughts of destruction over my life and discouragement. Some of you are struggling with depression. Jesus. How many of you are, honestly, just wave at me a little bit. If you're struggling with depression, just be honest. Just wave a little bit. Yeah. Come on. Right now, God's speaking this word to you right now. God's speaking this word. Thus saith the Lord. Change those thoughts. No amount of laying on of hands is going to change it. You have to change those thoughts. No, we can lay hands on you till we rub the hair off your head. You'll be laying empty hands on empty heads. But you got to change those thoughts. Come on, somebody. Amen. Change those thoughts. Come on, just put your hand on your own mind. Say, God, I choose right now to think righteous, powerful thoughts. Kingdom thoughts. Come on right now. I choose to think thoughts of God's goodness on my life. If God's going to bless anybody, He's going to bless me. If God's going to heal anybody, He's going to heal me. Come on, somebody. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not broken, beat down. I'm not dumb. I'm not stupid. I'm God's daughter. I'm God's son. Come on, somebody. Right now, just begin to take authority over your own thoughts and the way you think. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now I want you to find somebody, like a woman, find a woman, man, find a man, not your spouse. Get away from your spouse. All right, go, just move right now, quickly. Come on, right now. Find somebody that is not your spouse. Same sex. Okay, some of you are still with your spouse. You're not getting it. If they go to the same toilet as you, that's the right one. If they go to a different one, that's the wrong one. Okay. So find someone that is not your spouse. Find someone. Men, find a man. Women, just one. Women, find a woman. Now grab both their hands right now. And now you're gonna pray for them as God's mouthpiece.
Ah, thanks. Yeah. What? Oh, I didn't get to pray for. Oh, yeah, yeah. Lord, tonight, oh, my brother, I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just speak blessing and favor in Jesus' name right now over his life. And Jesus,
come on, just pray with authority right now. Come on, pray out loud. Just ask them what they need right now. Come on, you ask them. You're God's minister tonight. Come on, you're God's minister. If they need healing, ask them, what do you need healing for? If it's their kids, then, you know, pray for the kids. Come on, this is body ministry now. Come on. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Come on, pray for them like you'd want them to pray for you. Two minutes for the one, and then we're going to go 2 minutes for the other person. Then you ask the other one. Come on, pray with authority. Don't pray Mickey Mouse prayers now. Come on, pray power prayers right now. I pray in the name of Jesus. I break those things. I speak healing over you, over your finances. Come on. You got to open your mouth though. Some of you got your mouth shut. Come on, just talk to heaven. All right, switch. Let the other person ask them, what do you need prayer for? Just ask them, what do you need prayer? What do you need? What do you want to see in your family? What do you want to see in your business or in your physical body? What do you need healing for? Come on, just ask somebody. Now you pray for them. Come on, go for it right now. In the name of Jesus, I just prophesy right now. I'm God's mouthpiece to them right now. Come on, you speak right now as a prophet. Speak as an evangelist right now. I just speak God's grace over your life. I just speak God's favor and blessing over you now. The devil's not going to have his way in your life. Come on, just one more minute. Come on, just one more minute. Open your mouth, though. Come on, let that river flow out of your belly. If you don't know what to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost. God, I pray for them right now. I bless them. I just prophesy grace, favor, miracles. If they're in school, just, God, I pray for their classes. Discouragement, go right now. Come on, a lot of people raise their hands for depression. Right now, I just break depression right now off of your life. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, now everyone turn to the middle. Turn to these two pastors right here. Come on, stretch your hands to these two pastors right now. So now in the name of Jesus, I take this same anointing oil and I anoint these two men of God. Let their churches be known as places of miracles. May the walls be filled with canes and crutches and wheelchairs. And Lord, come on, help me right now. Come on, you help me. You're God's mouthpiece. You're God's minister. Come on, pray right now. God, we bless them. We bless their churches. Every prayer they pray. Come on, right now, just stretch your hands. Now, don't everyone lay hands on them. Don't lay hands. Just stretch your hands. Just stretch your hands. Come on, right where you are. Just right where you are. Just let God speak to them. God, use them. God, anoint them. God, refresh them. Let revival break in Rochester. Let it be known all over Indiana that this is a place of revival, that churches are breaking out in the revival. In the name of Jesus. Come on, just pray in 30 seconds. Pray for these two guys. Come on, right now. God, just pray right now. Let them prophesy in the pulpits on Sunday. Let blind people see and lame people walk. Let the dead be raised in their churches. Let the sinners come to the altar. May they be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Come on, 10 more seconds. Come on, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Anoint them. Refresh them. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Come on, somebody. I want you guys to have this. That's Corbis' oil from South Africa. Susie burns it. Burns it. Woo! Give at least three people a great big sweaty hug. And we'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And we're going to have a great revival. Help us get the word out. Just give, seriously, go give someone a big hug. Say, I just hug you as a woman of God. I hug you as a man of God. Come on, tell them. Say, I hug you as a woman of God or as a man of God. Go for it. Just find at least two, three people. Show God's love.